But we praise the Lord for His many blessings, and I wanted to make a continuation of last sermon that I had preached on the children of God. And you know, it was very key this morning as we were reading in the book of Romans in our Sunday school class, and it was talking about the children of Israel maybe being God's promised people, and yet that may not lead to their salvation. Don't count on it to be led to their salvation. That they needed faith, and they needed to be the children of the promise. And that the Gentiles, not being the seed of Abraham in that respect, or those of Isaac, but yet being children of the promise would still be heirs, or heirs of adoption, maybe into Israel, but importantly, that we should be heirs in through the promise of Jesus Christ. Now, either scenario tells me that it's important, no matter what, that we be one in the children of God. That we be one of His children. That we are one of the people of God. And how important that is. The one scripture we read was that if God be for us, who can be against us? And by the reverse, I was thinking when we were reading that, if God is against us, who can save us? And so, how important is it that we try to maintain our spiritual walk, that through the Holy Spirit that directs us to right ways or righteousness? That if we did transgress that once, that and most importantly, we know of a God that will forgive us through His Son Jesus Christ, who is ministering in the heavenly sanctuary. And we have the right to forgiveness. And there we have the right to mercy. And there shall be the power of redemption, reclaiming us from a spiritual death. Now by choice, you could be one of the children of God. And we were looking last week, or not last week, because I would preach the week before, but regardless. And the first portion I was talking about, you know, what God is doing for us. And this week I would rather like to talk about what are our responsibilities and what does God expect of us. And first of all, the things that He expects of us are not physical labors, if you will, or drudgery, or things like that, but they are spiritual desires, because you inherited a promise and a hope beyond our comprehension, and being moved by the Holy Spirit unto good works and desire for righteousness. These are desires, first of all. Remember, the old covenant, through, you know, given through Moses, if you will, was a law of carnal commandments, and got to be, it was a servitude to them, and it was where they were performing a work in that respect, a temporal work. Anyway, the law after Christ, the law of Christ, is the law of the heart. A spiritually driving mechanism that moves the children of men to do good things after the law of righteousness. And so I wanted to read some scriptures talking about the things that God, He expects of us, but remember, in that light is the thing that we desire to do. Now, first of all, I would like to read in the book of Psalms in the 24th chapter. Psalms, the 24th chapter. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 5. It says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" Asking that question. "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully," falsely, sarcastically, or any of those such things. In other words, not rightfully, not with a pure heart. "He," or that person, "shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So, you say, what does he expect of us? Well, it says, talking about who's going to stand in the holiness of the Lord. Who's going to stand in his presence? Who is he going to bless, and who is he going to take care of, and who is he going to save? "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, and who has not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." And that contains the children of Christ. And those are the children of Christ that have, you know, applied in truth and righteousness, and with an effort to serve him and to keep his commandments. And we have to make an effort. You know, that we can't just, you know, there was a person that said one time, he said, being a Christian, you know, just sitting in the house of the Lord doesn't make us a Christian any more than sitting in McDonald's makes you a hamburger. And that's true. But you need to apply what you get there. You know, I can go into Home Depot, one of my favorite places to go. I think they all know me by name there by now. Walk in the door. They say, "Adam, where have you been?" You know, "We thought we were going to have to send you a reminder card to come in here and keep, you know, make some purchases to keep the lights on." And I can't do any project. I can't build any project. I cannot fix anything where I need the supplies if I walk through the store and just browse, look up and down the shelves and not get anything. Unless I pick up supplies, unless I pick up tools, unless I use them. And I believe that's what God wants us to think about the body of Christ, about coming to his house, and also about his word, about his promise. And his scriptures can either be just words to us, or they can be life, if we'll use them. If they will direct us to the side of Christ in his holy gospel, the gospel of the Father. So we need to pick up those supplies, we need to pick up those tools. And you know, and we learn from one another as we share them with one another here in the body of Christ. But it's important that we think about, you know, that when you are born again through Jesus Christ and are a fellow citizen with the saints, there is the blessings of God. And he's there. It says, "Who can separate us from the love of God?" It says, as we were reading this morning, who can separate us from that? Now, God's love is always going to be there, but I made a comment that we can stand in the way of with our transgressions and with our disobedience and rebellion. Yes, we can. And it's important that we participate and we pick up the tools in order to live life And like Jesus said, more abundantly. I came like to give life more abundantly. And He wants us to have life more abundantly. As we were also mentioning, the storms of life happen to all people. The rain can fall on the just and on the unjust. The sun shines out there on the just and the unjust. And calamity happens to all people. It depends on how they handle that, doesn't it? Depends on how they handle it and how they decide. And also who they are afterwards. What kind of people have they stayed? Or has it changed you? And it is the storms in life that can make us stronger. They should make us stronger through Jesus Christ. Because those storms, we know that they're going to come. There are disappointments. But you know something? We need the gospel of Christ. We need His Spirit to handle the happy times too. They don't carry us away into pride. They don't carry us into covetousness. They don't carry away into looking down on other people. We've got to be careful that the blessings of life or the good things that happen to us and the happy times don't carry us away. We find that a lot of the difficult times, like in the Book of Mormon, when they were doing good, they got carried away into false pride. And they were lifted up in the pride of their hearts. They started persecuting other people because they had received a prosperity and they were divided into classes. But we find that in the gospel of Christ, when they were, especially when the New Testament church was set up, and they said they were selling houses and lands and so on, distributing them, giving them to the church, that they were distributing to the necessities of others, that they may live all in all things common, you know, that others would have the necessities of life like others would. And I would believe that in this congregation that if there were those that had a need, that your brother and sister would be right there to help you in one way or another to get through that. I believe that. That I have heard offers from many people for this, that, and the other to help people in one way, shape, or form. That they can be taken care of. And I believe that's what the Lord talks about, all things common. That someone is not, you know, not having what they need in order to be fed and sustained and clothed or in warmth. But that's what the body of Christ is all about. Being one of the children of Christ is all about. What does God expect of us? I would like to turn, if you'll, to Matthew 22. Matthew in the 22nd chapter. There are many things that we could talk about that God may expect of us, but do we honestly give good thought to the possibility of what does God expect from us, and realize that? Are we realizing that responsibility? Do we realize that God does expect something out of us? He has given us so much. But I believe that He expects us to excel in our calling as a Christian. Because we're a royal priesthood and a royal generation. To show all the praises of Him that's called us out of darkness. And so, what does He expect if we're showing forth praises? It has to transcend into our life and into our ways, into our decisions, our walk in life. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. 36 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We find the concentration of the law of Christ. That if we can love God with all our heart, mind, and might, love our neighbor and ourselves, we can find the gospel of Christ in many other parts and pieces within that. It's just like the other scripture that says that if we have broken one commandment, we've broken them all. You remember that one? And you know why that would be? Well, if we are in breaking the commandments or you know, involved in sin, it's because we've stepped out of the spiritual walk with Him. We've allowed ourselves to be not led of the Spirit. We can be led carnally at that point. That's why it's so very important. It talks about Romans, that if we have not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. So it's very important that we let the Holy Spirit move. There is the moving of the Holy Spirit. It is that Spirit that is supposed to be, and He says, and I trust in it, sealed to us until the day of judgment. Now, you can offend it. You can offend the Spirit of God that you were a possessor of. And Jesus told us that we have a Comforter that He is going to send in His name. He will bring back to our remembrance things that He's taught us. He told that to His disciples, but I know that He was meaning that for us and possessors of the Holy Spirit. And so it's a necessity that we're moved by the Holy Spirit. That's the difference between the children of God and others that have not that Spirit. There's the spirit of the world. In the book of 1 John, it says, the world hears them. Because you and I know that there are things we talk about in the body of Christ that others will not understand nor appreciate. That is a truth. Because they're spiritually discerned. That's a truth. And you get that blank stare from some people if you tell them some of the things that transpired in this congregation. You tell them things like, do you know that we put a drop of oil on someone's head and we laid hands upon them and lifted them up to the Lord to consecrate them unto healing? And some people would think that you're crazy. But you and I have seen and witnessed the power of God, and we know that it's in His Word. Because you believe His Word and you believe in His promises. We could go around here all day long and talk about the miracles and blessings that we have seen. And you know something? I believe that's... If that were to come to pass and people start getting rolling with their testimonies from their memory, it would just be... We could be here all day long. I know. Because God has blessed. God has moved. And we testify that. But once again, this difference between the body of Christ that is spiritually knit together and those that need to apply to the promise of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Boy, you know, that sounds like an all-encompassing thing, doesn't it? All thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind. That seems to take in all parts of my life, doesn't it? It takes in my spiritual life here. It takes in my workplace. And it must take in my finances too. I know that it is the comfort of the Lord not to worry about what's happened to the financial market lately. If we were dependent upon that, we'd be in the depths of despair, wouldn't we? You know it. But how many here don't worry about it? How many here are worried about it? How many people are worried about your money for tomorrow or the next day? How many are physically worried about it? And if we have any raise of hands here, we're going to be in a season of prayer right now. Because you should have a peace and assurance about your future. It's not through the government. It's not through the stock market. And I'm going to tell you what. This nation is going through what it's going through right now because it's departed from the commandments of the Almighty God. And God is allowing us to suffer what has come upon us because of ignorance from His ways. Because of things that we have done in this country or have been allowed. When the people turned away from the Lord, we see through all the scriptures in time where when they turned away from His commandments, there could have been storm, there could have been their enemies come upon them, there could have been famine and pestilence. As a matter of fact, when David disobeyed the Lord gave him a choice. Which will you rather have? Famine or pestilence? Which would you rather have? Why? Well, actually, of course, in my own life, I'd rather have neither. But because the Lord, he disobeyed the Lord and the Lord's commandment, this is what happened. But we need to, as a nation, turn back to the Lord. And I hope and pray, as a matter of fact, I ask just interest your prayers for this nation that the people will turn back to God. The Book of Mormon says the more part of the people choose iniquity rather than righteousness, he says, then my judgment will come upon them. And this nation was founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you look within an organization called wallbuilders.com and take a look in there, and it will show you the godly heritage our nation has had and the spiritual infuse from the beginning and setting up. That our laws were built upon Blackstone's commentaries in the very beginning. Do you know that? Blackstone's commentaries are based upon the King James Version of the Bible. And in many seasons of the early Congress, it was not uncommon to have a man stand up with the Scriptures and read from the Scriptures in order to settle a matter of law. What's happened? And who has moved? It has not been God. And so we need to, as the children of God, and we need to pray that our nation, it's a large task, I'm telling you, it's a large task. And there's a lot of people out there. But I believe that even many of so-called calling themselves Christians have made some very unwise choices. We've allowed so many things. And that needs to change. We're going to keep on. You know, the Lord would not let up on His judgments upon the house of Israel while they were still had idols in their midst and the groves that were set up and the high places that weren't cast down. The Lord did not let up until those unclean things were purged out of the land. And that's the truth. He wouldn't let up. And then when they would recognize and come back to the Lord, you know, and take care of those things out of the land, then He'd bless them and then He'd heal their land. And there was not a more blessed people upon the face of the earth than the children of the Lord when they kept His commandments. There was not a more blessed people. But you know, it starts. And as many as here this morning, we examine ourselves. We examine ourselves by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of the Lord. Do we have a grove? Do we have an idol? Do we have a high place? That's something you can answer for yourself. Is there something that we're doing that is offensive to the Lord? And in the body of Christ, we all need to look toward the body of Christ and its blessings. That if any of us were bringing in sins, gross in sins, it can affect the blessings of the body. Yes, it can. Why would Paul have talked about the hand not having a need for the eye and the foot and so on and so forth. It is that closely interconnected. It is that important that Jesus talked about, you know, the union between a man and woman be as important as him and his church. It is that type of association. And so it's very important. And when a man and a woman, there is a wedge between them, a separation between them, or infidelity, things like that. We see how that can destroy. It's the same thing with the church and the body of Christ. So that's how important it is, being one of the children of Christ. I'd like to turn in the Book of Mormon on page 628. The Lord is looking to for a faithful people. Those to accept and take a place in the body of Christ. When Jesus appeared to the people upon this continent, and before he had set up his New Testament church here upon this continent. And I say continent because we're very interconnected with that little thin strip of land, and was most likely down in the Yucatan Peninsula in that area. That's where we speculate that he probably came to. But regardless of that, you know, it's not that he didn't appear to others, I'm going to say, in maybe in a different portion up here in the North America somewhere, because there could have been different tribes. And there was that group that we have the record of the Book of Mormon, you know, mostly down. There's the land southward, the land northward, and there's land with great amounts of waters, and so on, and it describes different parts. And we don't. There's people that got into boats, went up into the land northward, and we don't know how far that was. And there's some, they said they never heard from them anymore. So we don't know. And remember this, the records weren't found down in South America. They were found up in New York State. Where is this other great cavern of records somewhere? I think that's exciting. That there's a great vault of records somewhere that the Lord has under His care. I've heard different stories of things, but nothing of a fact that I'm aware of. But I'm excited about that. But regardless, I don't want to get off the path here. And so I'd like to start here in verse 42. And Jesus speaking, of course, speaking to the people, those that were saved from that great calamity and upheaval. Yea, verily I say unto you, if you will come unto me, you shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended toward you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive, and blessed are those who come unto me. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them are. I was with the Father from the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming are fulfilled. And as many as have received me, to them I have given to become the sons of God. Very important and powerful promise, isn't it? To as many have received me, to him I have given to become the sons of God. And even so will I do to as many as shall believe on my name. Behold, by me redemption cometh. And in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Ye shall offer unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away. I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion. were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come into the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. From sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, to him will I receive, for such is the kingdom of God. Behold, for such I have laid down my life, and have taken it up again. Therefore repent, and come unto me, ye ends of the earth, and be saved. What is the power of that promise? It's beyond our knowing. It's absolutely beyond our knowing. But you can accept it. You can believe it. You can accept it. You can live for it. And let the Lord manifest His power and blessing in your life, being one of the children of God. He says, you are one of the sons of God if you will live by His gospel, if you will live through His Spirit. You are one of the sons of God. You know something? He talks about that broken heart and that contrite spirit. And an interesting thought came to me. And is that only a one-time thing? Is a contrite heart and a broken heart and a contrite spirit, is that only a one-time thing? Well, no. It's a condition. It's a cataclysmic, life-changing event. Life-changing. And he said, he tells us, you know, went through the writings of Paul, of course, the Holy Spirit motivating. How should we act as His children? He says, He wants you to act as one that is alive from the dead. Act as one that's alive from the dead. Because you are a new person. You should be a new person. And that's the challenge for us. We're supposed to be continually building and maturing in the gospel and in the virtues that wants us to live by and mature unto. You know, each understanding here, I know, is a little bit different. There are those that know a lot more scriptures in here than others do. I understand that. There are those that have more mature understanding of some of the scriptures than others do. It's just the way it is. And we'd appreciate one another for that very thing. And that makes us different. But we all need to be going on and climbing and maturing in the gospel of Christ. And increasing in appreciation for His gospel. His promise, His salvation. And that broken heart and contrite spirit has got to be continual. It's got to be ongoing. It's got to be something that is you are that new creature created in Christ Jesus. Remember, it is the meek and the mild and the humble and the obedient that He is blessing. It is those that He is talking to. It's those whose lives that He can direct and He can mold and shape. It is those type of supple people. If we are hard against His Spirit and we live according to our own will and direction, how's He going to talk to you? How's He going to lead you and teach you? But you need to be willing to submit to the things that He, like it talks about on page 218 of the Book of Mormon, about being a saint, as a parent as we do to submit to a parent. And so, He wants a faithful people to take a place in the body of Christ. In Romans, in the 12th chapter, we'll go there for just a moment. Romans, in the 12th chapter, what does He expect of us? Now, this is on the same thread as I was just talking about. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of chapter 12, verse 1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we need to decide what is that also that perfect and good will of God. We are deciding every day where God, where with through our decisions and where God has influenced our life. But because we've been transformed, because we've been renewed, that we need to think about what does God expect of us? And most importantly, that you're presenting your body a living sacrifice, not stained by sin, not by the rebellious nature of the world, not loving the people of the world. Now there are people we know that are evil people in the world, but it's a general love for mankind. That's the person you are. It's not about the people they are, but it's about the person you are. You're not hateful, spiteful, wish they were dead, or anything like that. Because remember, there is nothing that, even if we could have the power of judgment in that respect, or consignment, there's nothing we could do that would be what God is going to be doing to them for eternity, if they are worthy of that sort of punishment. There's nothing we can... You know, some people say, well, I wish they would get their just desserts. Bad comment, really. Jesus once said, you know, what judgment we use shall be used upon us. We've got to be careful. And I want the Lord to... I want Him to be compassionate to me. That's why I would like to treat other people, I hope. And I need your prayers as well as I'm praying for you. Be not conformed. There are so many things in this world that's coming down fast and furious. And he says there's no thing under the sun, but it seems like people are inventing new things in order for entertainment and mischievousness and another way to package sin a little, to look a little differently or something. There are different things. So we need the power of God to decide. We need the Spirit of the Lord to move within our mind and our bodies. To decide. We need the power and the Spirit of the Lord to live in this life. To live life more abundantly in those times. There are many things that people using for entertainment. And there are things where people there that look very reminiscent of what the gladiators did back in Roman times when they were feeding Christians to the lions that are on TV for entertainment. The time where people would get in a pen one with another until one of them doesn't move anymore. And they call it entertainment. But you know, they may do that, and they may tear the living daylights out of one another, but you know, he's a Christian. Sure, get in and beat the snot out of somebody else, bleed, bust their teeth out and everything else, but you know, he has a faith in Christ. And something just doesn't ring true about that. No. Sorry. Mark my word, and I've said this, and I know I believe it's going to come to pass. And there was an example of it on years ago where they would turn a man loose and then they'd go and hunt him down. It's just not been publicized yet, but they're doing it for sport. There was a show on called The Marathon Man years ago with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. I don't want to bring this up for... I don't think you... Don't go out and rent it. And I don't recommend a lot of the worldly movies that are out there today. And I don't recognize any of it. As a matter of fact, we received a prophecy in our church a few years ago that the children of God should stay out of the movie houses. And I was talking about that. And we got to, because of all the influence that's out there. And they have staged, and I'm going to tell you what, and is that, that's in the theater, but you want to know about the power of the media, all you got to do is a little bit of reading, a little bit of studying, and that's what influenced this last election. I know it did. Many other people are seeing the same thing. That's the power of what it's about. And if you can't tell, you can tell me that the power of the media is not powerful enough, then why? Then the people that spend millions and billions of dollars to put commercials on that you would buy a certain brand of cat food or a certain type of a diaper or a certain type of soft drink or energy drink. Look how good it is. We're so beautiful when we drink this. We're so wonderful when we drive this car. It's a sensual experience. You take a look at the Uncle. There was an Uncle Ben's thing on. It was a sensual commercial. What, shame on me. I was even there to notice it, to tell you about it today. But that's the way things are. That's influence. That is, there's Satan's influence in it. And so the children of Christ, it says, come ye out from among them and be ye therefore separate. He expects you to make that effort to be separate. Now it talks about, and we won't turn there, in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, there was a householder that had given talents to each of his servants. There are some that received more than others. There are those that took what they were given of the Lord, and they did something with it, and they increased several fold, and they gave them back to the master. And he would say, good and faithful servant, you have done well with what I have given you. And there was one that took his talent, and he buried it in the earth. And he said, you slothful servant, why did you do that? I expect you to do something with it. And I believe that that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he has given us in its fullness, especially in the Church of Christ, in the restored gospel. He has given us many talents. Now, he may have given us... you could talk about physical talents here. Those here that have more wisdom than others. Others that have better financial sense than others. There are those that have musical abilities that we may use unto the Lord. Those to help us manage the affairs of the body of Christ. But what's important to the Lord? Salvation. The power of redemption. He expects us to do something what we have and to witness of it. If we're afraid to witness before men, he says, basically, how can I confess you before my Father which is in heaven? I won't. And so, he expects us to do something with the talent that we have been given. To talk about, you know, in the restored gospel, and we have the Bible and the Book of Mormon, we have the witness of other sheep. Of other sheep, they were looking forward to Jesus Christ. They were looking forward to His salvation. That were trying to live by the commandments of the Lord. And there are many testimonies and blessings and restored covenants. And people are afraid that they're going to be called maybe a Mormon or something like that. You know? And I believe that's a tool of Satan. People will persecute you for being called a Christian. And so, should we hide from the testimony of Christ? No. And the time has come for not to apologize about the restoration, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, but to proclaim it. You proclaim it, the fullness of the gospel. It's the witness of the fullness of the purity of these things in these latter days. He expects us to witness of it and to invite. There is one other scripture that I would like to bring forth this morning. There are many things that we could talk about that as a child of Christ and as one of his God's children, that he expects of us. But I'm just hitting some highlights. But it is a learning experience as we mature in the gospel of Christ, that we learn of these things. And I'd like to turn in the Book of Mormon on page 768. That we find in an essence, or in a pure form, what he expects of us. Now we learn we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and might, didn't we? Treat our neighbor as ourself. And then we find a recipe here that helps us broaden our spectrum a little bit within that very pure commandment. I'd like to read verses 52. Actually, let's start back in 50. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. These are all positive, wonderful things. That even though we may have calamity, that there may be sorrow, there may be discouragements that come in this life, these are all positive things that should carry us forth with a new vitalized hope in Jesus Christ. Charity never faileth. Cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with him. So we know that it is what one of the children of Christ, as one of the children of Christ, it is expected of us to cleave unto charity, to go on unto these virtues. And there are more. If we want to talk about good attributes as a Christian, 2 Peter 1 chapter is a wonderful one, talking about that would be walking toward the light, and talks about other virtues, which goes along with this as well. And so he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. And so we know that this is if we ever possessed of it, we'd be filled with this love, those who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ. And I think that through that very recipe, we will find a way in order to endure. Even though we may talk about a tribulation that is coming. People can talk about, we've talked about those things for years. People may have thought about that when the Great Depression was here. And there's always been sorrows or calamities in people's lives. Well, then that's true. And that's true. But think this. It's no farther away to the coming of Jesus Christ, but closer, isn't it? And he told us to live our life each day as if it were that day. You know, and I'm excited about the coming of Christ. And I believe that he wants us to be excited and assured and strengthened and taught and peaceful and meek and humble. I'm excited about that coming. Can you believe that? You know, look what he says about the millennial reign. wonderful time. A time of where the lion shall lay down with the lamb and the little kid and so on and so forth. None will hurt in all my holy mountain. Think about that time. It is going to be a blessed time when the children of God reign upon this earth with Jesus Christ among them. To be there. That's coming. It's going to be a wonderful time. We want to be there. And that is a motivation, a strength beyond our wildest imagination to live by and live for through Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, the power of redemption. Blessed and holy that hath part in the first resurrection. That's to that time. On such the second hath no power. You have made it. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. A wonderful time. You know, when he says that the out of Zion shall proceed the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. All God's people are going to be there. There shall not be the things that you know of today. There will be so much better and more wondrous and holy. I'm looking forward to that time, and I hope you do too. That's of being one of the children of God through Jesus Christ. So thank you for your time, for your love, and for your prayers. And God bless us all.